Gracious God, we thank you. We do thank you. Just want to sit in that thankfulness. God, we are so grateful. We know that the difficult things happen. The lives are not easy. We know that we face all sorts of things. We may face it the moment we leave this place, Lord, but you love us. You loved us first. You loved us when we didn't even know that you loved us. And thank you. We just want to respond. We just want to love you. And so, God, we pray this morning that you would be very present, not only during this time with this word, but also through the sacrament of baptism. Through our prayers, through our singing, through our worship of you, Lord. God, that you would just be present in your Holy Spirit. And that you would speak to us in ways that we need to hear this morning. Because we all need to hear something. We all need to be taken a little deeper. We all need to be reminded of some things and affirmed in others and convicted in others still. But God, we need you, we thank you, and we love you. All because you loved us first. God, I pray that you would give me the words to speak this morning, that I would not be a hindrance to your word, that I would not drag it down, but that you would be our anchor through your scripture. That you would keep us planted and rooted, and that you would help us weather the storms of life and speak to our hearts and minds. God, I thank you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we read the majority of this chapter 4, verse 7. Verses 7 through 21 this morning. There is a 4, 1 through 6 in there. I definitely recommend reading that because it kind of gives some idea of what discerning the spirits is. I think we've talked about that, especially in the Alpha. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is love. I think we've been talking about that for weeks, right? God's love. It's kind of hard to talk about one week to the other without thinking about everything else that we've already heard. Because it's a very cyclical letter, and it always comes around to God's love. And as I read this passage, you know, sometimes people just can't think of words to describe certain things that are so profound, right? Like you hear that saying, maybe you said it, I just don't have the words. And so, like, in some ways, like, there just aren't enough words to proclaim God's love. But what's important when you look at this passage is that when you see love in each of these instances, each of these times, he just keeps repeating this word love. He's talking about a specific kind of love. In Greek, they had multiple words for love. There were different kinds of loves. And this love is agape love. It's agape. It's a special kind of love. It's like the love of God. It's like a sacrificial love. It's like this love that is unconditional. Unconditional love. It's more than just the Eros love, the romantic love. It's more than just the brotherly love, the filio, the philo love. It's more than that. It's unconditional. And it's love before we know love. And as I thought about that, I thought about, I keep going back, and it annoys me, so I'm sorry if it annoys you, but I keep going back to this idea of parents or grandparents or aunts or whoever, you know, who loved us and sacrificed for us, who did things for us out of unconditional love. Maybe that wasn't even a family member. Maybe that was a teacher that you had. Maybe it was something else. And they just poured into your life unconditionally, sacrificially, loving you before you can even realize it. But then hopefully, as you got older, you can look back, and hopefully you've had this experience. If not, I pray that you do in some way, shape, or form, but that you could look back on your life and say, wow, my mom, my dad, my sister, my aunt, my whoever, they loved me. They took care of everything for me. I didn't even know how much they did for me. But now I do. It's unconditional. It's love that God has. It's agape. It's a specific kind of love. And so we're loved by God. John says this is love, not that he loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God initiated this love. God initiated love in us. And says, God is love. And so, yes, we have this love of God. We have this love that has been poured into us before we even knew. And then hopefully we can recognize it in our lives. Hopefully we can see that God is love. Notice it doesn't say, love is God. Love can be an idol in which we seek out love, but it's false love. But God is love. God is a sacrificial thing. God is the one who pours into us. God is the one who calls us into relationship. And perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. There's no darkness in light. There's only joy. There's only love. We love, verse 19, because he first loved us. Do you know that love? You know that love of God. I know it's unimaginable that we could go through life and that we could have difficulties and that we could lose loved ones, that we could lose people in our lives, that we could face difficulties and face tremendous pain, face tremendous hurt. And yet the love of God, if we know it, feel. Even in the midst of all of those things, we know. We know that we are loved. We know that we are never forgotten, never forsaken, never left behind, because he loved us enough to send his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. Enough that he would send his Son to take on all of our sins. Enough that he would die for us. When was the last time someone? And not just for one of us, not just for those of us in this sanctuary, not just for us who might hear this, but for the world. And for the world. For all people. All over. God loved us that much. That is love. God is love. We love because he first loved us in that way. Profound. It speaks to our hearts, hopefully it speaks to our minds if we allow it. It draws us closer and deeper. But you can't stop there. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love the brother or their sister. The specifics here is that he's talking again to this church who's debating whether Jesus came in the flesh, the Son of God came as a human being. And so there's all sorts of division. And then even the people who are together are still divided. Because they see their friends being hurt, their brothers and sisters being hurt by being cast out, all this stuff. And he says that you cannot hate your brother or your sister, your fellow church member, your fellow Christ believer, this Christian, you cannot say that you love God and then say that you hate them. Man. So you've gotten this love of God, but it's not just for you. You weren't poured into just to be filled up. You were poured into to be overflowing and pour out into others. God didn't just give you that love because He wants you to hold on to it. He wants you to hold on to it. But He wants you to share it. And so anytime that we have division, look, there's orthodoxy, there's we got to teach the right things, you got to uphold the right things, you got to uphold what's been passed down, but not, we have to love, too. We can disagree, but we got to love. And so He says, He's given this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And so, this morning, maybe it's kind of a gut check for us. Maybe it's a reminder for us that don't just love your brother and sister here in this church, but love them when you walk out those doors. It's a hard thing to do. Let's just be real. We disagree, and then if we let it, it serves in us. And it creates animosity if we disagree over something, if we have an argument, if we let it, it does. But we have a choice in how that comes out. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends, for her friends. Sometimes that's laying down that animosity, that hatred, that anger. And just saying, God, I can't do this anymore. Can't love the way you love me because you help me. That's prayer right there. And so I just pray this week that you would know this love of God, this love that has been poured out for you, that you would know that it's so good, even in bad situations. And God wants you to know that. God wants you to have that assurance, that peace, that light. Joy. It isn't happiness. It's joy. It says, no matter what, you're my God and I will praise you because you love me first. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for hearing our prayers. I thank you for knowing our hearts. I thank you for giving us your joy. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts. That would convict us of where we need to ask for forgiveness and where we need to forgive ourselves. That you would pour your love into us anew by your Holy Spirit. That you would fill us up those as vessels that you've created. That you would fill us with your love so that we might be poured out for you, for others. God, we thank you for your Son who died our death and rose for our sake. And Lord, we thank you for the joy that you give us in walking with you. Help us to respond to your love, to respond in the way that shows that we love you by loving and following your command to love our brothers and sisters. Help us to do this because we cannot do it. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.